Morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. A report released last week by the Able Foundation called The Chesapeake Bay and Agricultural Pollution concludes that efforts in Maryland to restore the pollution-damaged watershed are being slowed by inadequate curbs on the biggest source of that pollution, which is agriculture. Here's Maryland Morning senior producer Rob Sivak with more on the story.
Thanks, Tom. With me this morning are three distinguished guests with unique perspectives on agriculture's relationship with the Chesapeake. Here in the studio, Rona Cabell, a veteran environmental journalist and a WYPR contributor who now writes for the Chesapeake Bay Journal, and Dr. Robert Summers, the former Maryland Secretary of the Environment who works today as senior research scientist with the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Sciences. And with us on the phone from Annapolis is Lynn Hoot, the executive director of the Maryland Grain Producers Association, which represents the interests of more than 400 diversified grain farmers, large and small, from western Maryland to the eastern shore. Let me begin with a question to all of you. Maryland and five other states, D.C. and the federal government, have been at the Chesapeake Bay restoration effort for more than 30 years now. Yet today there seem to be very contradictory assessments of how well the bay is and its 64,000 square miles of watershed are actually doing. So let me ask each of you, do you believe the condition of the Chesapeake in terms of water quality and biological health is improving, or is it still in crisis, still facing serious pollution threats? Start with you, Lynn Hoot.
Well, I think we're all disappointed with the progress to date. I think there are some signs of improvement, but they're a lot smaller than we'd all hoped for. And a lot of effort from the agricultural community has gone into Chesapeake Bay cleanup. So I would suggest we're disappointed but optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Summers?
Well, certainly if you look at the data, there have been improvements in pollution levels coming into the bay, lowering of nitrogen, phosphorus, sediment. But recently, we've seen that the rate of improvement has slowed and, in fact, in some areas, reversed. So I think the way Lynn portrayed it, I would agree with. We are very optimistic, but it's also been a very difficult effort, and we clearly need to do more, given that we're seeing this reversal, or at least slowing in the improvement.
Mm-hmm. Rona?
I think the 1972 Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act have helped immensely in cleaning up a lot of the pollution that used to, frankly, choke Baltimore and the areas around Baltimore in the 70s and 80s. I think we've made tremendous improvement in those areas, but the improvement is eroded by a few factors, including that we keep bringing more people into the watershed and more people keep paving over more surfaces. And so when we make progress, we're often sort of a one step forward, two steps back kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Rona Cabell, the report does suggest that Maryland farmers, who along with other farmers in the region, are the largest single contributors, the largest source of the pollution that goes into the watershed, that they're not being held to sufficient account for their role in continuing to pollute. Is that the central theme of the report?
Well, I think the central theme of the report is ways that we can move forward to make it better. As I mentioned before, the 1972 Clean Water Act regulated sewage treatment plants and the Clean Air Act regulated power plants. And we've seen tremendous improvement on both of those fronts with those major pollutants. We've come a really long way with sewage treatment, and I would say we've come a really long way with air pollution. But the farms are not regulated in the same way. And in part, that's because we're talking about large sort of municipal institutions versus individual operators who have their own land. So I think the point of the report, and one of the reasons that I wanted to be involved in it, was to try to see if there were other solutions that we could find from other states or within our own network here that we could sort of improve the way this is handled, not to take a sector and pick on it and blame it, but to say to that sector, okay, how can we do this better?
Are there specific recommendations that you can describe here briefly that farmers can embrace or implement on their farms that they're not doing now?
Well, one of the recommendations that we have is for verification and auditing. So farmers get some funds from the federal government, and they put some of their own funds in to put in things like cover crops and buffers. And these are practices that you put on the land to help absorb nitrogen and phosphorus and keep it out of the waterways. We have a very good success rate in Maryland with farmers applying for these programs and putting these practices in. But what we're not doing that well is checking to make sure that these practices are being implemented properly. Our state agencies are always low on inspectors, and we don't inspect every farm. In fact, we don't inspect most farms to make sure that the practices are working properly and that we are monitoring so that we know that if we say that this practice is going to reduce the nitrogen by 50% and the phosphorus by 65%, that we're monitoring and we know that we're actually getting that reduction. So at the moment, we don't have that information.
Lynn Hoot, can I ask for your comments on that particular dimension of the report? I mean, would Maryland farmers be willing to accept a higher level of verification than they now have to deal with?
Well, I think there is a lot of support for Maryland's program as it's being conducted now. EPA just did a review of all six states on their animal agricultural program assessment. It was released in August 31st. Their comment about Maryland's was that it was robust and well implemented. And in fact, they have in there showing that, in fiscal year 14, 13.5% of all regulated farms, which is anybody with an income of over $2,500 or eight animal units, they inspected 13.5%, and they documented everything they found on those farms. And they issued $21,000 in fines for those farmers who were not in compliance with the nutrient management law. So I think the verification is there within the program. I think EPA, which I consider to be a third-party verifier, has reviewed the program that exists today. And I'm not suggesting you that there's not improvements, but over the last decade, the nutrient management law that passed in 98 has added incorporation of manure and litter, mandatory buffers, mandatory animal exclusion, limited the application of manure from November through March, and required a full nitrate test on all nitrogen on small grains. And then last year we added the phosphorus management tool, which from day one limited how much phosphorus could be put on high phosphorus soil. So I sort of feel as if we're, this report isn't reflective of what's really happening today.
Dr. Summers?
Well, I would respectfully disagree. I do agree that Maryland has the strongest agricultural program of any of the states, but I think that there are a lot of details involved in reviewing a nutrient management plan, ensuring that stream buffers and cover crops and so forth are being properly applied and properly maintained. So there definitely is a need for improved verification. And this was recognized by the EPA, and they've spent a lot of time developing a new verification protocol, which each of the states is required to implement beginning now. And this report, I believe, is timely in that we need to make sure that this new EPA verification protocol is actually fully implemented so that we can be sure that these things are happening. There's also a provision of the U.S. federal farm bill that prohibits the release of information about a specific farm with respect to whether or not a particular practice has been implemented. And this is a barrier to being able to verify that these things are actually being done properly and working. And I'm not blaming the farmers. I'm saying that many farmers are very good and they do this. But in order to have the same level of confidence that an agricultural operation is following its practices as we do for a sewage treatment plant or some other regulated entity under the Clean Water Act, we need to have the ability to look at these individual practices.
And it's my understanding that MDA, Maryland Department of Agriculture, is party to those restrictions on access and has a relationship with USDA and is working through the soil conservation districts to verify those practices.
But Lynn Hood, wouldn't greater transparency, wouldn't the ability for the public to know which farms are succeeding and which farms are failing be helpful in reassuring people that the best practices are actually being implemented to save the bay?
We want all farmers to be achieving the necessary requirements to meet the goal. And our soil conservation districts will be working with them to do that. And so will the Department of Agriculture through the nutrient management program. And I understand that EPA has actually approved the verification process where 10% of the practices will be approved every year. And any BMP has to be inspected initially before it can go into the Bay model. So I think that the new protocols agriculture is fine with. And we understand that there is a need to make sure the practices are there. The large majority of farmers are doing everything they can and doing a lot more and using a lot of their own money to do it.
I have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Thanks to Rona Cabell, a staff writer with the Chesapeake Bay Journal, and Dr. Robert Summers, the former Maryland Secretary of the Environment, two of the four authors of the Able Foundation report, The Chesapeake Bay and Agricultural Pollution. And thanks also to Lynn Hoot, the Executive Director of the Maryland Grain Producers Association. We've got links to the report and all our guests on our website, wypr.org/program/Maryland Morning. I'm producer Rob Sivak. There's more coming up later this hour, so stay with us. Now here's Nathan.